Hi, folks. This is Dana Lash for the Headrest Safe, a pioneering innovation in automotive security. The Headrest Safe company embarked on this journey in 2022, revolutionizing vehicle safety. It all started with a father's concern after the birth of his daughter and the dissatisfaction with his own truck's gun box, which ignited the creation of the Headrest Safe. But it's not just for firearms. It provides invisible security for all of your valuables. The Headrest Safe is strategically placed on the passenger side headrest facing the driver, and accessing your items is a breeze, with a magnetic door opening in just 2.5 to 3.5 seconds. Seamless integration into your vehicle's interior is remarkable. I've witnessed it myself, and it blends in seamlessly. The Headrest Safe caters to anyone seeking secure and accessible in-vehicle storage. Experience this innovation at headrestsafe.com and use code Dana for an exclusive $50 off. That's headrestsafe.com, code Dana for $50 off. The Headrest Safe, transforming the way we protect our valuables and vehicles with a 100% money-back guarantee.
We know that the groups conducting these attacks are supported by the IRGC and the Iranian regime. What we are seeing is the prospect for more significant escalation against U.S. forces and personnel across the region in the very near term, coming from Iranian proxy forces and ultimately from Iran. So by virtue of our announcement over the weekend, we are preparing for this escalation, both in terms of defending our forces and responding decisively. And I just want to emphasize the point that I made earlier, which is that we always reserve the right to defend ourselves, and we will never hesitate to take action when needed to protect our forces and our interests overseas.
So the latest, they're trying to figure out the extent to which, I guess, officially, I think they're trying to figure out officially how they're going to talk to people about how they feel Iran is involved. But we're supposed to hear from the president. When were we going to hear from him? We were going to hear from him this hour, and then they pushed it back by like 40, 45 minutes, something to that effect. So we're not going to hear from him until later up in our second hour of our broadcast. So, and we'll keep you updated with all of that. But there's not a whole heck of a lot has changed, other than that they did have, who was it, Hezbollah, the Islamic Jihad, and Hamas all met. I thought it was interesting Fatah didn't meet with him. They all met and had a little powwow, a little terrorist powwow, because they're trying to figure out, I guess, some of the latest terrorist stuff that they're doing. I don't know. I mean, what's the best way to put it? They had a terrorist meeting. Bunch of terrorists got together and had a terrorist meeting. Welcome to the show. Dana Lash with you. It's the top of our first hour. And like I said, we'll bring you all of the latest. We also have the stuff happening in the House. I don't know. Are we going to have a speaker after today? Who the hell knows? Who knows if we're going to have a speaker or not? We may. We may have a speaker.
Happen. Huh? It might happen.
It might happen. We'll tell you about the latest choice, because you had Emmer, who was, I think, the nominee for what, four hours, something like that. Yeah, he was the nominee for 4 hours, and a really bad choice, I have to say, a really bad choice. And then, of course, I think some of the the Gateses and some other folks that got real mad. They were all fighting with each other. So I don't know. We'll see what happens. Does he have the votes? Because they thought that about Emmer. They thought maybe perhaps Emmer might have the votes, but as it turns out, he didn't. And then, of course, I think a lot of people were upset over his rhino-ness. I mean, I talked about it yesterday. So welcome to the show, Dana Lash with you, nationally syndicated radio program, and you can listen to the show coast to coast and all that stuff. You can find us on Facebook and YouTube, and make sure you sign up for the newsletter too, because all kinds of good stuff always goes up at the newsletter. And so we'll have all that for you. So in the meantime, the latest with this, you have I was reading this piece. They're finding out more as to how Hamas actually carried this out completely undetected for as long as they did. And one of the ways they were able to do that is because of all the tunnels that they had, which that's not a total surprise. I mean, we know that they've had these tunnels. I mean, it shouldn't be a total surprise that they were doing this in the first place. But they had the attack tunnels that they were using. And they said that they were planning this for like 2 years. That's the latest from, I guess, Mossad and our own intelligence, is that they were doing this for like 2 years. planning this out. You know what they could have been doing instead of planning a terror attack? Upgrading their water systems. They could have been improving their infrastructure. I mean, they could have been doing a whole bunch of that stuff. I'm just saying, you know, they could have done a lot of it, but they chose apparently to not do it. And then you have all of these countries from around the world. Why did Israel shut off the water? We're going to talk about some of the media narratives with this, but they said the tunnels are like, 300 some odd miles of tunnels. Have you seen some of the images of these tunnels? They are actually like pretty, they're built up pretty nice. They have hardwired phone lines in. They have, you know, electricity. I mean, they're like decorated almost. I mean, they didn't just like crudely grind, you know, like chip them out of the earth. These are like nice looking things. This is wild. They put a lot of time and effort into their terrorism, Kane. They put a lot of time, a lot of effort into their terrorism. So that's just some of the latest with us. In looking at this intelligence, they're like, there was a small cell that started it, but they said that they were using this network of tunnels. And apparently that's one of the tunnels when they had the grandmother who came out and they had released her. And she was saying that, you know, Hamas she went through hell and they beat her with sticks. But I think people need to realize that they also have her husband still, and they have her husband still. And of course, you know, she had to say, I think she was, you know, being very aware, she had to say certain things, but they apparently took her into the tunnels. And we were sharing that with you yesterday. So more information coming out about this. In the meantime, the Pentagon revealed 24 Americans were injured in drone attacks in Syria. And the drone attacks, I don't know if people were exactly forthright about all of this from the get-go. But they said that because we're starting to see more increase, things ramping up in the northern part of Israel. In the meantime, the United Nations has been meeting all happening. And the Israeli ambassador, Audio Soundbite 6, told off the United Nations. This is a very interesting soundbite. Listen to this.
The UN is failing, and you, Mr. Secretary General, have lost all morality and impartiality. Because when you say those terrible words that these heinous attacks did not happen in a vacuum, you are tolerating terrorism.
Well, and he's not wrong. He's not wrong on this. The UN, they've been having their emergency Security Council meetings, etc. They've been having their meetings and looking at some of this. I don't think that they're contributing anything to help. Nothing that they're doing is helping. They've been part of the problem with this in the beginning, because in previous instances, when you've had Hamas that have violated any kind of ceasefire agreement, it's always the UN that gets involved and immediately prolongs this, because they're telling Israel to withhold response. They've told them this every single time that there's been a ceasefire that has taken place, whenever Hamas has broken it, it's always the United Nations and the Security Council countries that get involved, and they try to restrain Israel from reacting, and they've prolonged all of this and kept this going as long as it has. And so they're part of the problem. I don't even understand the point of them meeting about this, because, you know, I get in the beginning, I guess people believed that this was, you know, a nice way for civilized entities to get together and have a discussion about, at least pretend to engage in diplomacy and keep up the niceties and, you know, at least try to put some kind of line in the sand against the barbarism. But it's all been for naught. It's not been effective. So in the meantime, as we've been having all this, you have the French president, Emmanuel Macron. He's called for an international coalition to go after Hamas, so he says, without mercy. He was discussing the urgency to defeat Hamas this took place yesterday during a press conference with the Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. He called for international global coalition for a coalition to be established to go after Hamas, go after, I guess, Islamic Jihad, according to CNBC. And he said that they're ready for the international coalition against it. We're engaged for our operation in Iraq and Syria. We want to go after Hamas. I think yes, it would take that. But I also think, isn't there a vested interest in all of the countries that don't allow Gazans or West Bank residents to enter? Because they understand the divisiveness and mindset of individuals that have been raised into thinking that their neighbors shouldn't exist, and they've been raised with inaccurate textbooks, and they've been brainwashed by a government that practices suicide bombing and has established a martyrs fund, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, don't you think that there is some sort of responsibility on those nations that border all of these areas to maybe, why can't it be one of them? Why can't it be Jordan that stands up and goes after? Why can't it be Jordan? I don't know if you've seen Jordan. Their queen had, there was a big giant video. It was one of the top videos of the day. It was at the top of the Daily Mail and everywhere where you get videos. But they had the Queen of Jordan who went out there, in case you were wondering why. She was essentially saying that Israel should not engage in vengeance and shouldn't engage in war crimes and things of that nature. And that made no sense to me. She said that people in Gaza are very frustrated right now. I mean, I'm not quite sure why she has this position, but I think it's illustrative of how all of these nations that aren't allowing these residents in, that's their mindset. That's why. Why is it that all of these other European nations' responsibility, or anyone else's responsibility for that matter? Make Jordan deal with it. Hell, make Egypt deal with it. Make all of these other countries that won't allow any Gazans in, but by God, they're going to sit here and demand that everybody else take in Gazans. Make these people deal with it. I'm still tired of the United States being a proxy dog for all these damn Arab nations. Stop it. And that's the truth of it. And that's exactly what's been happening here. So enough is enough. Enough is enough is enough. Enough. Enough already. You have heard me talk a lot about how much I love my Kel-Tec P50. It's just so versatile and has become a global choice of protective details and sport shooters like me. Well, have y'all seen the new R50? Like the P50, the R50 carbine is light, well-balanced, and easily manipulated. This side-folding tack driver gives you maximum speed, accuracy, and power downrange. It is great fun out on the range. Looks like a SpaceX blaster. And the 5.7 cartridge comes in several variants, from sporting to hunting to serious personal defense. Now, the R50 comes with two 50-round double-stack mags that lay horizontally along the top, and just like the P50, the R50 offers over 7 inches of rail space up top for a wide range of optic options and even more space on the bottom for accessories. To learn more about the new R50 carbine, visit KeltecWeapons.com. That's K-E-L-T-E-C weapons.com. Keltec, 30 years of innovation to help secure your world. Visit KeltecWeapons.com today. KeltecWeapons.com.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So Meta has been sued by 42 AGs alleging that Facebook and Instagram features are addictive and they target kids. All I'm going to say is I spent accidentally trying to go to sleep last night 43 minutes because I was just started watching videos of otters. I don't know, man.
The attacky kind of otter? No. The friendly kind?
It was like this otter. So it started with this video, and it was these people that were cleaning this pool area, and this otter was like super helpfully, you know, like putting these cones up. And he was like, I've seen it before, but there was a longer version. And I watched this otter. He was like super helpful, right? And he was taking these cones and stacking them up, and it was just really helpful. And I was like, I kind of want one now. I mean, I don't know what I'd do with it, but, you know, I'd find something, you know? I mean, otters are friends. Anyway, and then before I knew it, I was like, oh my gosh, it's like 40 minutes later. So anyway, they say that they demonstrate broad bipartisan interest in protecting kids from harm because parents apparently suck and can't do anything anymore. Parents, you know, can I just say that there is a point in which it becomes ironic? You say we don't want the government raising our kids, but also we need the government to step in to set lines for our kids because we, the parents, apparently are too damn weak and stupid to do it ourselves. It's true. It's true. Apparently, a dog mauled the owner after being fed a THC gummy. It was a Rottweiler. It was an hour-long Rottweiler attack, apparently. Jeez. Why would you feed a THC-laced gummy to your Rottweiler?
I don't believe that that's the reason the dog mauled the owner. I'm thinking it's deeper.
So wait, what is the bath salt thing? Is that the THC stuff?
No.
I don't understand drugs enough, clearly.
No. Are you saying Epsom salt?
No. That turns you into face ED people.
You mean the drug stuff?
Yeah. Like the one guy who knocked the other dude down in Florida back in 80s face.
It's not the same.
Yeah. Okay. So I didn't know. It was like, is it like hyped up THC, like synthetic THC? I don't know.
It's a gummy, and I'm not sure why you would be giving dogs gummies.
Why would you give a dog?
Anyway,
yeah.
But
she sounds like the type of person who puts her dog in clothes. You know what I'm saying? Like, I love dogs, but if you're putting them in actual clothes, you need your head checked. I mean, I love dogs. My dog has a chaise. So before you like it, I mean, and that's what it's called, a chaise. I don't even have a chaise. I don't even know what it is until I got one for my dog. It's a fancy name for chair, Kane. But anyway, if you put clothes on your dog or feed your dog THC gummies, you're kind of a moron. But I mean, an hour-long mauling. That sounds like the name of a metal album. An hour-long mauling. How would you describe your music? An hour-long mauling? Oh, okay. This is horrible. Seven dead after a super fog causes a huge pileup in New Orleans. This sounds like some Dracula stuff. They said that seven people were killed in this. Super fog caused 158 car pileup near New Orleans. Thick fog and smoke. 25 people were injured. It was on Interstate 55 in St. John the Baptist Parish. Some vehicles caught fire and were abandoned. It just made it worse. It looks like a hot mess. I mean, the whole highway is just full of burned out cars. It looks really bad. That's just, I mean, good heavens. On track, 3% of Americans have gotten the new coronavirus shot. On track. Coronavirus shot, but the CDC director remains confident. Yeah, that's not going to happen. Come get your clot shots. It's not going to happen. Do you like blood like Jell-O? Then come check out the new clot shot from the CDC. Clot shot. I don't know what's happening today. Cocoa price, I'm going to riot, has soared to the highest in 44 years. Cocoa has surged 44 years. Global shortages are boosting cost for chocolate makers. So you're telling me I have to start hoarding. That's what I'm hearing. They say that behind the gains are forecasts for poor crops in top growers off the Ivory Coast and Ghana. They say, blah, blah, blah. It's going to be a little bit more expensive. So get y'all's chocolate. If you bake, as I do, ahead of Thanksgiving and Christmas, get y'all's chocolate early. By the way, I've already started getting my pumpkin mix because all these people have been going crazy on pumpkin mix. I ain't roasting no pumpkin and scraping it out. I'm doing it from the can. So get that stuff early. Be like me. Get it early. We got a lot more on the way. Don't move. What happens when we die? From Angel Studios, the force behind Sound of Freedom and The Chosen comes an unprecedented deep dive into the phenomena of near-death experiences in the new movie After Death. After Death makes a courageous venture into a hotly debated, mysterious subject by comparing near-death experience with cutting-edge scientific knowledge. Hear from experts in the fields of science, philosophy, and medicine, as well as firsthand experiences of people who have lived through death as they paint a fascinating picture of life in the next realm. This groundbreaking project responds to the soul's innate desire to find meaning in life and solace in the future. Come see it for yourself or pay it forward by providing a free ticket for others to see the film. Leave your preconceptions at the door and prepare for a never-before-seen glimpse into what the next life could entail in After Death, opening October 27th. Get your tickets today or pay it forward at angel.com/Dana. That's angel.com/Dana. After Death, the end is only the beginning. Rated PG-13.
Are we in a cardboard conundrum? The cardboard industry is entering a recession. Yes, those things your Christmas presents come in. What does that say about the consumer who buys things in those boxes? Economists say we have a rising GDP, but is that accurate? Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
Looking for the drive-through version of The Dana Show? Check out the best highlights from every show and Dana's Absurd Truth podcast, posted daily from The Dana Show.
I think we are going to move forward in unity behind Mike and make sure that we get this job done.
Has McCarthy said that to you, that he will move his supporters over to Mike Johnson?
He has not said that to me. I have not talked to Kevin since the vote, but I am confident that Kevin, he spent a lot of time winning this majority, and he's going to want to make sure that this majority produces, and that's the way that we need to produce.
Golly. So I don't know what's going to happen. We will see. It could happen today, could not. We're just like, I don't know. We don't know what's going on. They got to get it together. How many days? 22 days? Yeah. Yeah. All right. We got a few things to touch on. We got some culture stuff. We've been following everything going, all the latest with Israel. We've also been following all the reactions and, you know, all of this stuff. And some of, especially with the universities, the DeSantis administration had directed Florida universities to terminate student chapters that are outwardly supporting Hamas. Did you see, by the way, what they were putting up on the buildings at George Washington University? Look, I'm going to be real. There are a lot of college kids who did not get their ass beat when they were young enough, often enough, if not ever, for real. If I had done what some of these college kids are doing today when I was a kid, Nana would have whooped me to death. And everybody had been too scared of her to intervene. She'd have whooped me to death. It had been over. Yeah, done to death is apparently a saying. I don't know. My grandma always said it. So don't mess with her. She'll come back and haunt you or something. She I love her to death, but man, she will. If she could find a way, she will. She'll get you. But I'm just trying to, I can't imagine. They posted up. They were saying, celebrate their martyrs, etc. You're talking about dudes who raped kids to death, like literally broke their pelvic bones during the process. That's who you're rooting for. That's who you're. What does that have to do with freeing your fictional country? I'm going to free my fictional country by raping children to death. Woo! That's your approach. That's your goal. What's the matter with you? Did you see some of these kids in Plano? Oh, dude, for real. What did they all drive to school in their BMWs and then protest and then drive back to their McMansions and their secondhand Beamers? Is that what they did? Yeah. I'm going to go protest. I don't know anything about this area. look at the scarf that I got from Forever 21, a name I take literally and ironically is apparently Christian owned. Sidebar, I asked for another cup of coffee. Do I need one? Don't know. That might be a bad choice today. It's the Black Rifle stuff, man. I can't remember what it's called. I think it's just called Tweaker. I don't even know, but it's hardcore. But anyway, back to the point. They were out there saying, you know, free Palestine. And then they were going from the river to the sea. Palestine will be free. You're calling again for genocide. You geographically illiterate turds. You're calling for genocide. This is when I need like the school teacher's map so I can explain to people how that works, right? Like you got the River Jordan, you got the Med, and in between that is this place that's called what came?
Israel.
That's right. So when you say from this spot on one side of Israel to the other spot on the other side of Israel, you're talking about no Israel. They don't even understand what they're saying half the time. Good grief. Yeah, but they in Plano. I mean, I'm not like hitting on Plano people at all, but I'm just saying, that sounds so weird to me. In Plano, of all places, they act like they're oppressed. These kids are out there. You don't even know what oppression is. Oppression to you is not getting the latest gen iPhone the month that it comes out. That's oppression to you. Oppression to you is having to drive dad's handed down Beamer. That's oppression to you. Like, OMG. That's who these people are. It's like the new Valley Girl, right? Good grief. I can't stand this over. Again, kids are not getting their ass beat enough. I would never raise a progressive because it's just, I can't. I'm not a bad parent. I said it. But I can't imagine. What would you do? I'd be like that one mom that found her kid rioting. Remember that video 5 or 6 years ago? Yeah. She found out that her son was rioting, doing some of the, BLM stuff.
Yeah.
She walked out there in the middle of the street and whooped him down in the middle of the street. And all these other rioters, like these people who a second ago were super tough, they all had their faces covered and everything else. They were terrified of this woman. Terrified. They did not intervene. They did not save this teenager, a young man. They did not get involved. She dragged him and he was like, Mama, stop. Mama, stop. She's beating him to half to death in the middle of the street because she didn't raise a child to do that. That's what these other parents need to be doing. If I find out my kid had put something about all the martyrs up on the side of a building, guess what? Mama Dana's showing up to beat your ass. That's what's going to happen in front of all your friends. We're going to humble you. I will be the hand of God humbling you in front of all your friends as a service to you, right? The spirit doth move. Golly. It's just wild seeing this at George Washington University, one of these like ritzy universities. Come on. It was in D.C. that they were doing this. Good night. This is wild to me. Just wild. So the administration in Florida, the DeSantis administration, they're directing these universities to get rid of these student chapters that are supporting terrorism. Because there's, and I'm fine with that. I'm all for free speech, but when you're out there cheering for terrorism, you know, the people that are trying to kill Americans and have killed Americans, I do think it becomes a national security issue. And I am really weird on that point. That's the only point I think that I would ever be prevailed upon to like kind of go to that extent. We're going to talk more about this. Can we have a conversation about what broads expect in dating in 2023? Did you all see this thing? Juan's over there dying. Did you all see this thing that's gone viral? So it all happened because this chick, first up, this chick recorded herself going on a date with some dude. Where did he take her? He took her to what? Cheesecake Factory or something? And she didn't want to get out of the car because she was like, it was their first date. And she was like, restaurant's not good enough for me. I was looking at you. Your fake eyelashes were not good enough to go anywhere else but a Cheesecake Factory. If you're going to act that way, you're going to get called out. They're not supposed to look like you picked up spider legs from a haunted house, okay? It's not supposed to be looking like that. Like, and they're supposed to be like a gradient in length. Let's have this discussion. Anyway, and I shouldn't be seeing the glue in your video. Anyway, so like it went viral from that. So then there's this list that has come out that women are circulating. Here's a list of places that women absolutely refuse to go on a first date to. And thank you to the ladies who reached out to help me on my list. So these are them. The list is Cheesecake Factory, Applebee's, Chili's, Chipotle, Olive Garden, the movies. Do they not understand what that means? Your house, any fast food chain, Buffalo Wild Wings, Wingstop, Red Lobster. Beyonce loved Red Lobster. What are you talking about? IHOP, Denny's, the gym, church. That's not a restaurant. Church. I think this is going to be part of your problem. Like you don't know what. Coffee dates, ice cream dates, family functions, movie night, somewhere that requires a long drive, bowling, nightclubs, hookah bar, a bar just for drinks, Waffle House, sports events. So basically what I'm seeing here is a bunch of dumb broads that have sugar daddy tastes because a man who is your age is not going to be paying and shelling out a whole month's paycheck to take your broke ass to a Michelin starred restaurant. Let's be real. And first off, it's your first date, girl. It's not Michelin star. It's not that fancy requirement in the first place. That's when you're like cementing your relationship or you're getting a ring. Okay. Stop it. These snotty ass broads. I'm not couching my language. I'm not Big Bird. I'm not here to entertain your kids. I get so aggravated about this because these same women or these same females want to sit here and complain about men. They want to complain about men. What you're talking about is dating a 60-year-old. You're not talking about dating a 25-year-old. You ought to be lucky that he takes you to, you ought to be lucky that he doesn't say, you know what, why don't you just stay home and order yourself, why don't you go buy yourself a DiGiorno's and you just put it in the oven, make yourself a DiGiorno's, because that's your worth. That's your worth right there.
Is it delivery?
Yeah, is it delivery? It's DiGiorno. By the way, who is hating on the Waffle House? The Waffle has always been there for you. It has always been there for you. You're sad, Waffle House. You got a lot of homework and you're stressed, Waffle House. You went to a concert and it's 1 a.m. and you're super hungry. Where do you go? Waffle House. All hell breaks loose and you need somebody to have your back. Waffle House. You know, it's a storm. The storm of the century. Everything else is closed. You just need to get, you know, your hash brown smothered and covered. Waffle House. I mean, come on. They've always been there for you. How is Waffle House making this list? What is wrong with chicks? There's nothing. You're not too good for Olive Garden. If you got to make a list like this, you're too bad for Olive Garden. Olive Garden's too good for you. No unlimited sticks for you. You don't get that, right? You don't get any of that. You don't get no Chipotle. You're not going to go get Cheesecake Factory and their 50,000 page menu. They have a menu that is as long as Rand Paul's book on Fauci. That is how big their menu is. That's too good for you. If you got to make a list about where your boys, men, if your girl shares this on social media, I don't care if you've been together for a year, drop her. Drop her. That is a red flag. Run, boy, run. Run for the hills.
Solid advice.
Oh, my gosh. I can't. I'm doing you a favor. Let Mama Dana do you a favor. Run for the hills because she's not good enough. I don't care how serious y'all think you are. If she's sharing this on social media seriously and she's not criticizing it, drop her. Get find somebody else. Golly, family functions, movie night, all this stuff. I'm too good for a hookah bar. You look like a hookah bar. Shut up. What's the matter with you? Oh, my gosh. I can't, man. Yeah, buy your own DiGiorno's. Just take care of yourself tonight. I feel bad for dudes. Dudes have it bad, right? Don't they? I feel bad for men today. This is crazy.
I'd take it first dates out to sporting events and to Waffle House afterwards.
You know what I would have done if I was a man and a chick wasn't, she didn't like that I was taking her to a Cheesecake Factory. I would drive her broke butt to a bus stop and I would drop her off there and be like, catch it later. Not. And then I'd leave. I'm not even exaggerating. Right. I would dump her at a Greyhound.
That's
what?
Not a bad idea because that's not on the list.
Yeah, it's not on the list. But how do you like a bus stop? What does that taste like? Here you go. Bye.
Tastes like church.
Oh my gosh. Sounds like you need Jesus. If you don't want to go to church, it sounds like you need him. That's where I'm going to take you to get saved, girl. Oh my gosh. What is wrong with this generation?
Oh, I'm kind of with Kane on this.
Yeah.
I don't disagree with a lot of these. Some of them I wouldn't take a first date to a chain restaurant, I don't think. But like ice cream, like that's sporting event, that's fine. Like I don't know.
Yeah.
That is the ones I'm like, that's what I would do. Like coffee's great.
Yeah. Like, what do they expect? Like, right. It's a privilege for you to spend time in their presence, so you have to invest in them an expensive dinner? No. Girl, you're worth one cup of coffee. Let's see if we have chemistry. That's it. That's how this works. What is this entitlement mentality that these chicks have? No. You don't get to have make those kind of demands if you're a woman. No. You're not. And because women get so mad if men make demands upon them. Well, what are you doing to the men right here? Oh, but that's okay. Stop it. Good heavens. I cannot. No, I would have taken her to a bus stop. I'm just glad that, oh man, I feel bad for dudes. I feel like they're shell shocked. Is it like a big thing? So let me ask you this, Steve, not to like pry into your life.
I don't care.
Do you, if you're going on a date, do you stress over where to go eat? Because like, is this like rampant in the dating scene today?
I mean, I tend to shape the date, but kind of like off a personality trait. So if they're into this, you go like something that makes both people feel comfortable. Like that's why I see the whole chain restaurant thing. Like I would never take someone to a chain, like maybe a second or third time, but not the first. When you get to know someone, you know?
When I was a freshman in college, I had a date take me to a Pizza Hut. Cause we were both freshmen in college and we were broke. And that's back when Pizza Hut was cool. Remember that? That's when they would send out the pizza and the hot like cast iron things where you could scald your arm skin off if you accidentally brushed against it. That's back when they had the salad bar, the Book It program. Man, I had the big Book It button. I had all that. Yeah, those are the good old days when we had it all before we even realized that we did. Anyway, I was just shocked about that. I was just shocked. So coming up, I got more culture for you as well. New Jersey school cancels Halloween in the name of equity. I swear I'm about to take my boot off and start hitting people. I'm just done at this point. For 10 years, Patriot Mobile has been America's only Christian conservative wireless provider. And when I say only, trust me, they're the only one. Glenn and the team have been great supporters of the show, which is why I'm proud to partner with them. Patriot Mobile offers dependable nationwide coverage, giving you the ability to access all three major networks, which means you're getting the same coverage you've been accustomed to without funding the left. And when you switch to Patriot Mobile, you're sending the message that you support free speech and religious freedom, the sanctity of life, the Second Amendment, military veterans, and first responders. Their 100% U.S.-based customer service team makes switching easy. Keep your number, keep your phone, or upgrade. Their team will help you find the best plan for your needs. Just visit patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 878-PATRIOT and get free activation when you use offer code Dana. Join me and make the switch today. That's patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 878-PATRIOT.
Don't let FOMO get the best of you. Stay in the loop and ahead of the curve by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
Nearly 55 years ago, American astronauts took humanity's first step on the moon. They sent a message, forever etched in history. Quote, "That's one small step for man and one giant step for mankind."
It's only the most famous speech.
I got some issues, man. I don't know. Actually, he does. Oh my gosh, what in the world is happening? Welcome back. Welcome back. Dana Lash here with you. As of always. You know, when is he supposed to talk? Next hour coming up, right? Is the next hour? He was supposed to speak already, but he hasn't yet, obviously. So we'll let you know what happens. Coming up next hour, Congresswoman Beth Van Dyne is going to join us, and we're going to be like, what's happening? Who are we going to get? I actually wanted her to go for speaker. I think she would have been good. She was the one who was mayor of Irving, Texas some years ago when that one dude, that kid, literally took some clock guts and put it in a pencil case and said he made a clock, but it looked like a bomb. And then he got in trouble, Clock Boy, y'all remember that? And she stood her ground because the family was going off on the cops. And they're like, our son's just really bright. No, he didn't. He took the guts out of a clock and put it in a pencil case. Stop acting like he made a new type of clock, you dummies. He didn't. That's what he did. Good grief. Here's my clock in a pencil case. It's like, here's my coffee bowl. Drink coffee out of a bowl. Look at my new invention. You just put this in this. That's all you did. Anyway, she stood her ground. She would have been good. We got all the latest with that and so much more, including Halloween equity in New Jersey. Stay with us.
We want to thank all the press for waiting. It's been quite a process. Democracy is messy sometimes, but it is our system. This conference that you see, this House Republican majority, is united. Honored to have the support of my colleagues, and what they understand about this is servant leadership. We're going to serve the people of this country. We're going to restore their faith in this Congress, this institution of government. America is the last best hope of man on the earth. Abraham Lincoln said it. Ronald Reagan used to remind us all the time, and we're here to remind you of that again. We're going to restore your trust in what we do here. You're going to see a new form of government, and we are going to move this quickly. This group here is ready to govern, and we're going to govern well. We're going to do what's right by the people. And I believe the people are going to reward that next year. But we have a lot of big priorities ahead of us right now. The world is on fire. We stand with our ally, Israel.
So this is the latest, what is it, the third or fourth Republican selected for the House Speaker? I was trying to think. This is Mike Johnson, and this was just moments ago. Apparently, they're going to be doing votes. So we have the House voting now, or here shortly, at the same time I'm looking, because Biden's going to be speaking. All at the same time. It's all going to be happening all at the same time. And then are we supposed to have Beth Van Dyne this hour?
Next hour.
Okay, sorry. So third hour. It's a lot. We got a lot going on today, so we're going to keep you updated. Welcome back to the show. Top of the second hour, Dana Lash here with you. You can listen coast to coast to the radio show. You can stream it. You can watch the simulcast as well. All good things. All kinds of fun stuff happening. So the latest with this, he can only lose, the way that I understand it, he can only lose, I think, 4 votes is what is the number. He can only lose 4. And he's from Louisiana, Mike Johnson. And he won last night. What they had was this closed door meetings to try to figure out who is it going to be the fourth nominee for speaker. I was right. And he's got to have 217 votes to win on the House floor. He can only lose four. He beat out everybody else, including Byron Donalds, in the final ballot. It was 128 to a 29 vote. There were like 44 Republicans that didn't vote, apparently, for either of the two. And it seems right now, I don't want to get ahead of myself because you never know what's going to happen. It seems like right now he might pull it off. I don't know, because everybody thought that about Jim Jordan. I think I was a little bit, I don't know if he's going to make it just because he was going to have some difficulty with other Republicans. But what about Johnson? He was on the Republican Study Committee's chair, just to give you some background. He was the Republican Study Committee chair. He was on the Judiciary Committee as well. He's got Thomas Massie, who came out immediately and was like, I think this is a great idea. I back him, et cetera. Republicans have a 4-vote majority, so he's got to unite everybody. Gallagher thinks he's going to come up short. Some are still floating the idea of returning McCarthy, which I just don't think that's going to happen. And we'll see. I don't know. We'll see what happens. But the House race is still, And Steve notes that Ken Buck is for Johnson. So that is very insightful. So we'll see. That might indicate that he actually may get over that hurdle. I don't know. It's just all because the factions. Here's why. There's so much animosity between the different factions in the Republican Party. They're all trying to use this as an opportunity to get something for them, their faction or themselves. Either they want someone off this committee, or they want someone on a committee, or they want this, or they want. And so all of that has to be settled. It is, guys, honestly, why in the hell would you want this job? Kane, can you imagine? Imagine having like a herd of unruly teenage, emotional teenagers. That's what you're dealing with. I don't got the patience for that, right? I do not have the patience for that. Why would you want this job? You have to make everybody happy. I don't like making everybody happy because that means you got to lie to some other people. And I feel like you're doing a bigger disservice lying to people than just being honest with them, even if they get mad at you for it. So I just can't do that job. Now, I don't know. I've never met him, so I can't speak to, because fundraising is a big part of this. And this is the other thing. I like Jim Jordan a lot. And he's one of maybe four people in the House that I actually, if they say something, I'm like, okay, well, maybe let's listen to this. But he is very blunt. Doesn't have the best bedside manner because he's a ankle breaker, right? He's going to come out there and kick you. That's his thing. That's what he's judiciary. That's what he's really good. He wanted to be in the position that he's in, and he's really good in that position. You can't beat like that and go out there and be raising money and raising support to try to keep your caucus together. That's really difficult. So you kind of have to be a salesperson in a way. So I don't know his personality, so I can't speak to that. But we'll see how it. I don't know. It's just all. We'll see how it goes out. But I love by the I can't wait for them to do, what is it, the voiceover short videos that they do for these things? Oh, yeah. I can't wait for those videos to come out. All right, some of the latest. This wait for a ground invasion in Israel. A lot of people are wondering what's and why is this? Why are we having this situation? Well, I was reading this from the Wall Street Journal. And this came out just a little bit ago, like right before we were going on air. Israel has agreed to delay its invasion of Gaza so the U.S. can get missile defenses in place to protect American troops in the region. This is from the Wall Street Journal. Israel, so the way that the story reads, Israel has been prepared to enter Gaza, but it's delayed because we weren't prepared. Am I reading that correctly? I mean, that's the story. That's the story. I mean, Kane here, look, I'm going to give this. I mean, that's the story. That's it. They've agreed to now for a little bit of a wait. And that's so we can get our missile defense systems in place to make sure that our troops in that area are protected. Okay. I just got some questions here. I was reading this piece on break. They said Israel is also taking into account its planning to supply humanitarian aid to civilians as well. But they said the Pentagon is scrambling to deploy nearly a dozen air defense systems to the region because we have troops in Iraq, Syria, Kuwait, Jordan, Saudi Arabia, UAE to protect them from missiles and rockets. And U.S. officials have persuaded the Israelis to hold off any ground invasion until all of that's in place. They're saying later this week. How were we not prepared? I mean, I believe in peace through strength. How in the world were we not prepared? They're scrambling to deploy this. They've had their people ready. I mean, at ultimate readiness for quite some time now. And they're getting antsy. I mean, I shared this story with you. Let me pull this up because this was yesterday. I had this headline. Yeah. I think this is The Guardian, where they were saying that military generals in Israel are getting antsy they're wanting to move. And the way that the story was written, it was intimating that the disconnect was between Netanyahu and military generals, where it looks like it's we don't have these systems in place, perhaps. If that's the reason, and I'm wondering if Biden's going to speak to that when he talks this hour. If the Biden administration is pushing them to delay, then that is really bad. For this reason, that's bad. And it's embarrassing. And the IDF is getting antsy because the longer you wait, I mean, the longer that Hamas, I mean, this is like, you know, strategy 101. Then the longer that they wait, the longer that Hamas has to get ready, the longer Hamas has to, you know, plant IEDs, the longer Hamas has to stage ambushes. Good heavens. That's a lot. I mean, we've been heard it's imminent, imminent, imminent since October 7th. We've been hearing it's imminent since October 8th, really. Actually, the evening of October 7th. And the report also states that the forces that are stationed by the border can only remain in a heightened state of readiness for so long. And the New York Times had reported that U.S. officials were working behind the scenes to push Israel to hold off for as long as possible. Now, Axios says that Biden is taking a dual-track approach to Gaza, standing by Netanyahu while trying to hold him back in private. But again, you got hundreds of hostages. And the ground invasion, I think that if you're saying that you're not going to invade unless they really, I mean, it just sounds like you're giving them opportunities to prolong this and maybe release a couple here and there. And that's just them trolling. That's not showing evidence that negotiations are working. You're just prolonging this. That's all it is. I don't know why I don't know why they would release them now anyway, because if Hamas knows that they have to modify their plans for invasion around the hostages that they have in their custody, then that complicates Israel. That means that they're tying one of Israel's hands. They're going to keep them. That's, you know, and I mean, why would anybody think otherwise? I mean, hell, Hamas does that with their own people. They treat their own people who elected them as hostages, for crying out loud. So, I mean, why would that be any different?
I'm now wondering if this is part of the reason why Biden wasn't out last hour talking and that they're shaping now the comments about this particular situation for his words coming up.
Mm-hmm. I also think that this being coming out, that this is the U.S. not being prepared, I think that might be coming from Israel. I don't doubt its accuracy, because that kind of, actually that, I mean, there have been reports, Yates and I have talked about it, there have been reports in the past year or so where we've questioned our readiness, that have questioned U.S. military readiness. If something like this were to happen, do they have that air cover? So that's why I don't think it's unrealistic. It seems like the U.S. was trying to present it as, well, this was maybe military and Netanyahu disagreeing, and then Israel might be, because I don't think anybody in the Biden administration, who knows? This administration is leaked like a sieve, so who knows? It's just, it's pretty wild. So if they're trying to rush missile defense to this area, I said the other day, Netanyahu has been risk averse, but I don't think that negates the necessity of having to go into Gaza. So what did you say, Kane? Share what you said, because I suspect
he's going to spin this as him convincing Netanyahu and Israel to pause right now during this conflict. Not that it's a failure of readiness, but that he somehow convinced Netanyahu to pause. This is how it'll be spun.
Yeah. We're going to watch this. And speaker race is happening. Biden's expected to talk, and I would imagine he's going to hit this. I can't imagine him not hitting it, but we'll see.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So some are wondering if Putin had a heart attack. They're asking whether or not he had a heart attack, because apparently he collapsed in the presidential bedroom, according to the whispers. Reports say that the 71-year-old Russian leader had to be resuscitated and taken to a special ICU after security heard him falling to the floor. His health has been the subject of rumors for years, and the Kremlin has allowed the speculation to kind of run. Normally, they come out and they shut it down, or like they're very, you know. So it's kind of weird that they haven't, because it's completely out of bounds for them. I mean, whenever they've written about him marrying his mistress, which was this gymnast, they shut that down. They literally closed the office of a newspaper because they were reporting on it. So I don't know, it's kind of weird that they haven't done anything here. Those big questions. So 4 cups of coffee or tea could be the secret recipe for fighting frailty in old age. Yeah, that sounds good. This is a research that was done at National University of Singapore involving over 12,000 participants. They went over 2 decades, and they say if you drink 4 cups of coffee daily, you get the most significant benefits. But it's really consistent drinkers of black and green tea. They saw advantages as well. I am totally fine with that. America's Adderall shortage is driving ADHD patients to use meth. That's a thing. Apparently, Britney Spears' ex said he thought she was going to overdose on ADHD. I didn't even know you could I don't even know what it really does with the medicine Adderall, or she could overdose on her Adderall for ADHD. And 500,000 people have fled the Empire State. Woo, stay with us.
Whether you're a policy wonk, a news junkie, or simply someone hungry for insightful discourse, the Dana Show podcast has your back. Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That we stand for the importance of understanding that we must prioritize humanitarian values, that the rules of war require that there be no intentional attack of civilians, that humanitarian aid be administered, that we do all that we can to ensure that there will not be an escalation, in particular by Iran's proxies in that region of the world, and that we hold on to the responsibility that I think we uniquely have to represent the values that are about stability in the interest of peace, and we have not abandoned, and we still are profoundly committed to a two-state solution.
I'm waiting for her to say, and unburdened by what has been. Waiting for it. I bet if you let that clip go for a while, you'd hear it.
Yeah.
All right. Welcome back to the show. Dana Lash here with you. Bottom of the second hour. We're still watching the House Speaker race. It looks like Mike Johnson might have it. And then, of course, Biden is set to speak later on this hour. So we will keep you updated with all of that. What does she mean we have to prioritize humanitarian values? There's only one entity that has done that in this entire thing. The people who have been giving the humanitarian aid, etc. I'm just done having this conversation with people. I'm done using pretend terms for non-existent areas. I'm just done pretending, just like I'm done pretending or I'm not going to tolerate pretending or being forced to pretend, you know, that dudes can be chicks. So let's go into this argument as we watch all this happen before we lose an opportunity to discuss it with all the news happening. Can we have an honest discussion about whether or not Bud Light can be redeemed? Because I think that that's where all of this is right now. UFC, I'm pulling this up, just signed this major, major contract with Bud Light. They've partnered with them. Bud Light's desperately trying to turn their sales around. They've partnered with UFC. It's the biggest sponsorship deal in the sports history. Now, I should note that this isn't the first time that they've partnered with UFC. They've worked with UFC before, so this isn't the first time. They've worked with UFC, like in the very beginning, weren't they partners with them? So they've announced this partnership. This is after the beer company's been fighting back from the Dylan Mulvaney thing. And I think that goes to show you how widespread the rejection of that was, because it affected everything. It's not going to be conservatives that are rejecting it that are going to affect its sales to this extent. It's going to be everybody just fed up with all of it. So now they're an official beer sponsor for UFC. It's a 6-year marketing partnership. They announced this they announced it yesterday late afternoon. And CNBC said it's into 9 figures. It's the largest in UFC's history. And they've reestablished ties. This is considered a conservative sport. There are a lot of conservatives. I mean, Dana White seems to be pretty libertarian conservative, right? Conservatarian, a phrase I coined over a decade ago. He seems to be pretty conservatarian. And then they have, a lot of their fighters are pretty conservative. Not all are, but most of them, it seems, are. And Bud Light, I mean, yes, they have Modelo. They have Core, but the Modelo deal that they have, I think, is, what, 8 figures? They've been surpassed by everybody. They said sales declined over 30% in volume and dollar compared to the same period last year. I mean, in just 1 week after they launched that campaign, and it was an online influencer campaign with Mulvaney, sales dipped 6%, and Coors Light rose 3.5%. Miller Lights went up by a little over 3%. And everybody was, you know, undoubtedly and understandably, we thought it was ridiculous. Now, Dana White has said that they were the UFC's original beer sponsors 15 years ago. And he said he chose to go with AB and Bud Light. He goes, I feel like we're aligned when it comes to core values and what UFC stands for, etc. So I think now we're coming to the question of, do we believe? Here's what I think makes, I think that there's progressive cancel culture. And then I think that there is the consequence of choice that is affected by conservatives. And there is a difference. And I think the difference comes down to, do you believe in a path for redemption? Do you believe that, and this is a great example, do you believe that Anheuser-Busch can redeem itself? Now, I want to be very careful, because there are a lot of people who get real hot and they just want to immediately disregard that very important nuance of this discussion. Because when you ask whether or not something can be redeemed, whether there's a path for redemption for the brand, what you're not saying that you agree with what they did. I mean, I'm a woman who felt like mocked by the cosplay of the man that they chose to present as a woman. So I, you know, along with my other sisters in my gender, we are a little, I mean, no offense to dudes, but we're a little pissed off about this still, right? And we have every right to be, maybe more so than just a dude. I'm just saying. And I appreciated the men who have done the gentlemanly thing and have stuck up for us and have not wanted to drink the beer. I appreciate you, my brothers. I appreciate it. That being said, this is why I'm asking this, because I'm trying to figure out if there's still a difference between the right and the left when it comes to running someone out. And I'm not saying that to be deliberately provocative in the questioning. I'm genuinely wondering, because I wrote a book about this years ago that launched right as the world shut down for lockdown. That was super great. But my point in my book, Grace Canceled, was I was noting how the left, they don't allow a path back. They don't want reconciliation. They just want destruction. And I do think in some instances, yes, that is appropriate, but not in every instance. And is this one of those instances? But now I can't ask that question of our own side without in turn asking Bud Light, where's your statement where you just outright apologized for it? They've never done that. Do you realize that that's all a lot of us have wanted? Is saying, you know what, we messed up. We embarked on an influencer ad campaign and we chose a dude who is cosplaying as a woman who is literally making a caricature of the most stereotypical traits of a woman, mocking them, which is sexist. It's vaudevillian. And we're sorry for that. Because, you know, our female fans drink our beer too, and we are sorry that we mocked you. We're sorry that we pretended that your sex isn't important and a man can do it. We're sorry that we did that. What prevents me from saying yes, that there is a path to reconciliation for them, is they haven't done this. I can't reconcile with someone who hasn't acknowledged and taken responsibility of their wrongdoing, who hasn't acknowledged that they messed up, acknowledged how they messed up, and apologized for it. That's not an action of fealty. How do you know that you're not going to get screwed again if someone's like, you know what, I did mess up, and here's how I did it, and I'm sorry. I mean, when you're asking forgiveness for a sin, you do at least that. Why would you not, you know, and try to reconcile a relationship with someone? Why would you not do the same? So that's why I can't cheerlead it, because they have not done that. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. Kane, have they released a statement? I don't believe that they have, because I've watched it closely. They've kind of like done some roundabout stuff about it, but they've never come out and said, you know what? We totally blinked up. We are sorry. Yep, no. So how can there be a step? How can there be a path to reconciliation if they haven't done that? Because that's the accountability we're talking about. You can't just tell people. I think if you're telling women, you know what, it's been long enough, get over it. Well, hell, you're just as bad. That's my view of it. You're just as bad. Hell no, we're not going to get over it. Time is not a substitute for accountability. Time is not a substitute for a recognition of wrongdoing and an apology for said wrongdoing. Time isn't a substitute for that. There's no substitute for it. You can't tell me to get on board with something where they spit in your face and they never acknowledge that they did so. I don't give a rat's ass who's making a partnership with what. That's just the nature of it. And there are a lot of women that like UFC. There are a lot of women that I like it differently than the dudes do. I mean, I think the guys like the technical aspects of fighting, which I appreciate, but I really get into the stories of the fighters because I love a good story. I love a good comeback story. I love, you know, all of that. So women get into MMA too. And it is, like I said, one of the last, I guess, last sports that has perhaps more conservative or libertarian leaning fans than not. And I think that in doing this, I really wish that they would have made, maybe not, you don't have to make this detail public, but it would have been great if as a part of this deal, they would have said, you know what, why don't you apologize to the ladies out there? Why don't you apologize to them? I mean, would UFC ever have a dude as a ring girl? Hell no. So don't expect me to drink a beer that was advertised by a dude pretending to be a chick. You're not going to have a guy up there with a bulge and an Adam's apple walking around in a bikini as a ring girl. So why the hell would you expect women that are, you know, to appreciate a partnership from a brand that tried to sell them a dude cosplaying as a woman? That's just kind of, and I'm just, you know, I like Dana White and I like UFC. But I, you know, I just got to make that point. That's what people are missing in all of this. You can't sit here and go, okay, enough time has passed or they're doing this. Oh, no. No. I want, ladies, we blinked up. We're sorry. And then it actually would be kind of cool if, you know, maybe you did some old school marketing, like old school type commercials after that. Show me you're serious. Not even that. Like, bring back, like, the Farrah Fawcett type stuff. You know what I'm saying? Like, women like to be attractive, and they like a society that values that. And if they say otherwise, they're either ugly or they're lying. And that's true. That's just true. Everything else is just marketing for a grift. That's the truth of it. So I don't know. That's just kind of where I stand on all of this. I mean, I just don't. I would love to have reconciliation. I'd love to have a comeback for, you know, the brand. And I'm from St. Louis. So not only was I, as a woman, mad that this brand decided to cosplay, have a marketing influencer, a dude cosplaying as a woman. Hell, I live blocks from the brewery. I smell barley and hops in the air every night. I drove past the Clydesdales on the daily. When they were there at the complex, I saw it all lit up for Christmas. It is a part of my childhood. It is, it is the official beer of my stepdad, who I told when they were down here, you cannot have any Bud Light because we don't buy it. Like, you better, here's you a Shiner, enjoy. Here's you a Leinenkugel, enjoy. You ain't drinking this. So I feel it. I'm just saying, I'm not asking for like a big show or bending the knee. That's not what this is about. It's about, you know what? You've loved us for that long. We messed up and we're sorry. We love you, ladies, and we realize you're ladies and we love you. That's all I want. That is all I want. I don't think that's a lot to ask. Is that a lot to ask? Because I sure as hell don't think it is. We got a lot still to come. So it looks like Johnson is winning House Speaker. Looks like he's got the 217. Yep. Steve, can we officially play the fanfare? Finally.
I'm exhausted.
217 votes.
Finally. Finally. Golly, it took long enough. Took y'all long enough.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Drunk Florida man drops his pants, yells, "Where's my weapon?" while exposing himself to deputies, say officials. A Palm Coast man was taken to jail for reportedly exposing himself to deputies, and it was all caught on body camera video. Flagler County deputies arrested 40-year-old Sean Madden on charges of exposure of sexual organs, assault on an officer, disorderly intoxication, and resisting an officer without violence following a confrontation on Sunday in a local neighborhood. He was taken to jail for repeatedly on body camera exposing himself as well. Oh boy. Yeah, that's not something that you'd know. This Florida man arrested for stealing and damaging an excavator. A man in Florida was taken into custody after allegedly stealing an excavator and causing damage to not one, but two buildings. The man apparently drove like a woman. The incident occurred in Gainesville, where the suspect stole a large excavator and proceeded to drive it right on the street, resulting in the total destruction of power lines. Then he proceeded to drive the stolen excavator where else? Through the wall of a Walmart. Following the initial incident, police were able to locate a nearby storage unit that the suspect had also driven the stolen excavator through. Fortunately, no injuries were reported, shockingly, as a result of the incident. The motives behind the theft and subsequent destructive actions remain unknown. Does it matter, though? It's unclear how the suspect gained access to said excavator and what drove them to drive it through buildings. Investigations are ongoing to determine the full extent of the totally destroyed buildings and gather additional information about the incident. The stolen excavator has been recovered and legal proceedings are following. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't really think you care about a motive at that point. Florida woman attacks a trooper with fingernails after a 120-mile-per-hour drunken joyride. Brittany Bianchi was arrested after an alleged attack. What? Bianchi? Okay. That's what B-I-A-N-C-H-I.
That just sounded so not normal.
Brittany Bianchi. All right. After an alleged attack on a Florida Highway Patrol officer, police say that Lil Brittany, 31, was pulled over for doing 120 miles per hour in a 55 mile per hour zone. During the traffic stop, she allegedly being a laughable word doing all the heavy lifting here, attacked a Florida Highway Patrol trooper with her fingernails. Were they real or fake? That article doesn't state. The incident occurred at 8:30 p.m. in St. Petersburg. She was driving her Mercedes 120 miles per hour right past a trooper on the Gandy Bridge. And as he tried to take Lil Brittany into custody for driving her Benz under the influence, she became violent, dug her fingernails into the trooper's hands. The DUI charges her third offense in 10 years. And if I'm being honest, judging by the dash cam footage, crop tops aren't for everyone. Our third hour is on the way. The president is speaking. We have Congresswoman Beth Van Dyne joining us and lots more happening. Stay with us.
Last week, I sent Congress a budget request with commitments to boost our submarine production and maintenance capacity here in the United States. And I want to thank you, Mr. Prime Minister, for the historic investments Australia has made to strengthen the submarine industry base as well. Democrats and Republicans alike understand the strategic value AUKUS brings to our nations. And I urge Congress to pass our AUKUS legislation this year. We also see the strength of our alliance and our unwavering support for Ukraine, both countries, as it defends its sovereignty against Putin's brutality and aggression. Australia is a critical partner, together the United States and 50 other nations. 50 other nations we've been able to put together, all doing our part to support Ukraine. And I want to thank you, Mr. Prime Minister, for the new package of military aid you recently announced, it's for Ukraine. Look, Australia and the United States also share, in my view, a commitment to upholding international rules of the road, including freedom of navigation.
Oh my gosh, he's
just
so
this
warm.
Past week, the PRC vessels acted dangerously and unlawfully.
Kane says that the chin balls are not present. So what does that mean? That's what Kane's talking about. Welcome back to the show.
Off the air when I said that.
Yeah, I know. He's with the Prime Minister of Australia, and they are having their discussions right now. Biden spoke just a little bit, and it wasn't much. It was pretty much that what you just heard, and then he introduces the leader. Welcome back, top of this third hour, Dana Loesch with you. You can listen coast to coast. You can stream the radio program, and you can also find us YouTube and Facebook. So this, for those of you, I got a lot of stuff juggling here right now, because we're going to have Congresswoman Beth Van Dyne, who's going to be joining us at the bottom of the hour. We have the president who is speaking now with the Australian prime minister. And then we also have the news of the new speaker. Lorraine has a piece that's going to be coming out momentarily on Substack. She followed this, the vote, which she called an absolute circus. And now you have Representative Mike Johnson from Louisiana. And so he won the secret ballot. He beat out Donalds and others to get the nomination. And then he got to 217. He got a 220 to 209 vote. Whew. Man. And so here's the cool here. So what I like, and I've never met him. I don't know anything about him personally. I just know that he's been on Freedom Caucus, and he's also been on the study committee. And the Freedom Caucus membership is important to me because they will drum you out if you don't toe a certain line on limited government. And the Republican study committee has always been less important to me because I don't care. But now I kind of have to, as it involves Johnson, because he's Speaker of the House. And so, and Lorraine's going to hit on this too, and I thought it was prescient that she did, is that it means that he can play with both, he can deal with both his side, more of his, more in keeping with limited government ideology, but yet he can also reach across the factional divide to other Republicans who are a little bit more moderate. And that technically it means of all of the factions that are in the House, he is in two. And there hasn't been anybody else who's gone up for speaker who's been in more than one faction. So that's kind of, that explains it. That's important. So, which means it's important because it means that he might have, and we don't know until we see it, but it indicates that he has a good potential for getting votes together and keeping people together to go to get certain things passed. So, for instance, the what they're going to be starting with is going to be this bill where Biden's calling for aid for resources like munitions, or I would imagine certain, you know, et cetera, for Israel. But he wants to tie it to Ukraine, which is a totally stupid thing to do because they're two different things. And one has a definite would like to have an ending, and the other's just a big giant money laundering op. But the funding, the aspect of tacking that funding to Israel's funding means you're going to need leadership within the Republican Party in the House to divide that and then shepherd everybody together just to get any kind of support for Israel going. Because there are enough Republicans that have no problem with tacking Ukraine stuff onto it. That's just the reality of the situation. So maybe Johnson, again, I don't know, but maybe Johnson has some, I mean, we'll see. Like I said, he's unproven in this regard, so we'll see. But as of right now, you know, there's some, I don't want to say optimistic because that doesn't describe me ever about anything. I'm less cynical. Does that make sense? Yeah. I'm less cynical. So we'll see. I would imagine he's going to speak. Biden's been taking questions with the Australian Prime Minister. I don't care what they got to say. I mean, and no offense, I'm just because I don't care what Australia does. I just want to know what President Daddy Showers McSniff's kids is going to be saying with regards to any kind of involvement, the U.S. or the late. I would hope that he would speak to the Wall Street Journal story that I talked to you about last hour that says the reason why there's hesitation or the reason why it looks like there's this prolonged waiting period before a ground invasion in Gaza is because the U.S. is trying to get defense systems ready to protect our troops in Iraq and Syria and Kuwait when that kicks off. And we don't have that. We're not prepared yet. That's the Wall Street Journal piece. And Biden's been trying, his people have been posturing to make it look as though he's been trying to make Netanyahu look more risk averse, even though Netanyahu's always been, with this regard, risk averse. I mean, they definitely are committed to a ground invasion, but it's ridiculous that we're not all, that we're unprepared. However, it's not something that hasn't been discussed before. We've talked about it on this program before. There's been prior reporting talking about how would we be entirely at the level of readiness that we need to be if something were to kick off or go sideways. There was this discussion when stuff was popping off in Yemen, et cetera. So, that's the latest. I don't know if any of the questions, I can't imagine, and Steve, cue us in when he's taking questions and answering those on that, because so far I know just the Australian Prime Minister speaking, but cue us in on that, because I would like to take that if he does field some questions on that, take some to anything that gets close to it, because so far he hasn't really settled. This is the first time he's been in front of the press answering questions since October 7th. Actually, even before then, but since the attack on Israel on October 7th, this is the first time he's been in front of the press answering questions, which is bizarre to me, considering that there are hostages and Americans were killed. Should we, Steve, should we dive in and take some of this? Is it not? Okay, let's just peek in real quick. I want to hear what he has to say. And if it's not
a significant investment in the United States and its ability to produce submarines as part of this deal. And more importantly, it's important that Congress move quickly. And the fact is that I'm confident that we can get this done, because you remember when we put the deal together, the response of Democrats and Republicans in the United States, the response around the free world was, this is a very, very good thing, a very good thing. So the question is not if, but when. And JoJo told us that we got a new speaker, or likely have a new speaker. I hope that's true, because we have to get moving. We have to get moving. And so I'm confident that we are going to be able to get the money for AUKUS, because it's overwhelmingly in our interest. When I was asked, when we put together the deal, I was asked by Xi Jinping, were we just trying to surround China? I said, no, we're not surrounding China. We're just making sure that the sea lanes remain open. He doesn't unilaterally be able to change the rules of the road in terms of what constitutes international airspace and water space, et cetera. And so that's what this is all about. It's about making sure we have a close, and it's in addition to the fact that we put together the Quad, which they didn't like. The Quad is a very important piece as well. It's about maintaining stability in the Taiwan Strait, the Indian Ocean, that whole area. And I think it's going to increase the prospects for long-term peace rather than anything else.
So what he's talking about there is that's a trilateral security partnership. That's the UK, Australia, UK, and United States. So he's touching. I mean, strengthening those relationships is important. I hope that someone asks him, what do you say about the Wall Street Journal report that says one of the reasons why Israel isn't going into Gaza at this point is because we are not at the same level of readiness. We are not ready to protect our assets on the ground in Kuwait, in Syria, in Iraq. Is that true? And B, why? Why are we unprepared? I mean, for crying out loud, especially considering, and notice too, I gotta point out, there's been a lot of people on the left that have said, oh, well, Netanyahu wasn't ready. He wasn't ready. This is crazy. And a lot of people that have lived out more towards Gaza Strip in southern Israel that have brought up some of these criticisms. Can we just point out for a moment that we have assets in Kuwait, we have assets in Syria, we have assets in Iraq, we have assets, you know, over there. And apparently, according to a couple of different investigative pieces, there's like a million people on this byline, so I'm not going to dive into all of them, but this was in the works for 2 years. How do you not know that? I mean, Hamas aren't known for being the smartest people. I mean, they blew up a parking lot in their own hospital, and then apparently they're too much of dumbasses to tell a hospital from an actual parking lot. How does it go so long without that being known? I get it, the tunnel system, but I'm just curious. Like, for instance, we're doing surveys right now because we're building a new studio. A lot of stuff is expanding. There's so much stuff that's happening with business that's not on the microphone where I'm like, I need to clone myself because it gets a lot. We have all these designs drawn up for a new studio. We're getting ready to break ground. We've been doing surveys of the area and scanning, right? The technology that they have, I can't remember how many feet it allows you to go down, like a crazy amount. So you can see if there's any aquifers, if there's any, you could see if there's tunnels, you could see all this kind of stuff. I mean, I would imagine, you know, with any kind of espionage, scouting, gathering information, you know, I'm just like a regular person who is building a studio in Texas. I would imagine that you'd be able to use that kind of, you know, surveillance for surveillance purposes anywhere. I mean, couldn't you tell that maybe there were some new tunnels that were being built to go into different parts of southern Israel? I'm just asking. And I'm asking that also of our administration. You know, if you see that the Houthi are stocking up on some rockets over in the Red Sea and the Persian Gulf and the, you know, Gulf of Oman, like, what are you not, like, you know, maybe red flags coming up? Because who do they love attacking? The U.S. Got questions. We have more on the way. We got headlines coming up. A lot of stuff happening. New Speaker of the House. The president's talking. Oh, my gosh. All cats and dogs living together. Mass hysteria.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Scientists have identified a cancer kill switch that destroys tumors from the inside out. They spotted this switch that causes cancer cells to self-destruct during they were studying a segment of a protein on the outside of the cells that caused them to self-destruct when activated. Now, from what I understand, isn't that kind of how sharks' DNA is programmed to react? Very, very interesting. This could open up to a whole new, like, fight against this disease. So that's very, very, very good news. The ACLU sues Tennessee for making it illegal for prostitutes to knowingly spread HIV via Twitchy. They tweeted, ACLU, we're suing Tennessee for their, quote, aggravated prostitution statute that targets people with HIV for harsh punishment. Yes, if you know that you have HIV and you're prostituting and you're spreading it, yeah. And Wow. I mean, oh my gosh, there are court cases where people have been, like, accused and charged with what, like homicide or manslaughter, like attempted manslaughter. Let's see. This JetBlue plane tilted back off the top, off the front wheel, under the nose when it was being unloaded at JFK. And people were like taking pictures because they, I mean, understandably were like, what is happening here? This story, this is kind of crazy. I mean, the photo, it shows it tilted, it tilts all the way back during unloading. They're investigating to see what happened. I'm having difficulty getting this up because stupid cookies on stupid CNN's crappy website. But they say that there was a shift in weight and balance when people were deplaning, and that caused the whole nose legit. I mean, it looked like it lifted up like 13 to 14 feet. Yeah. That's crazy. Wait, how does it shift that much? Like, don't you have like stuff, like a way to offset that? I think a 116-year-old woman who has been alive in now three centuries says that she has no health problems. Scientists think this woman, Maria Branyas, 116 years old, she could hold the key to immortality. I don't know who would want to live forever, honestly. That means you got to live with people forever. We may have Congresswoman Beth Van Dyne up. She is on the floor right now. Back after this.
Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, because knowledge is your ultimate superpower.
Placed here above us. This motto was placed here as a rebuke of the Cold War era philosophy of the Soviet Union. That philosophy was Marxism and communism, which begins with the premise that there is no God. This is a critical distinction that is also articulated in our nation's birth certificate. We know the language well, the famous second paragraph that we used to have children memorize in school, and they don't do that so often anymore, but they should. G.K. Chesterton was the famous British philosopher and statesman, and he said one time, America is the only nation in the world that is founded upon a creed. And he said it's listed with almost theological lucidity in the Declaration of Independence. What is our creed? We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, not born equal, created equal. And they are endowed by the same inalienable rights, with the same inalienable rights, life, liberty, pursuit of happiness. That is the creed that has animated our nation since its founding, that has made us the great nation that we are. And we're in a time of extraordinary crisis right now. And the world needs us to be strong. They need us to remember our creed and our admonition. Turmoil and violence have rocked the Middle East and Eastern Europe. We all know it. And tensions continue to build in the Indo-Pacific. The country demands strong leadership of this body, and we must not waver. Our nation's greatest ally in the Middle East is under attack. The first bill that I'm going to bring to this floor in just a little while will be in support of our dear friend Israel, and we're overdue in getting that done.
So this is Mike Johnson, who is the new Speaker of the House, just elected today. These are the first remarks that he is giving. We have Congresswoman Beth Van Dyne is going to be joining us. She is on the floor, though, right now. And when Congressman Johnson, Speaker Johnson, I should say, he gets that office, doesn't he?
Yeah.
He gets that Pelosi office.
Yeah.
When he is done, then she will join if we have time. But welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you, bottom of this third hour. Now, as I was saying a little earlier, there's a piece out right now. It's not behind a firewall on this one. It's just so you can have some idea as to who the speaker is. But Lorraine has it up, and it gives some insight. Of all of the different factions that are in the Republican Party in the House, Johnson is unique in that he's a member of two of them. He is on the Republican Study Committee, which is, I think, some moderates on that. And then he also is in the House Freedom Caucus, which is, I think, where most of us are kind of aligned. And that it is a promising indication. I'm not saying it's proof, because I think he's got to prove that. But it's a promising indication that he might be a little more successful in getting people to come together and keep the caucus together, when especially like going to be with this Israel and Ukraine funding stuff that Biden is pushing, because he wants Ukraine part of it for, you know, obvious reasons. So we're going to discuss all of that, like I said, in the coming days to see if he's where he stands. But he's definitely more conservative than some of the other people that have been proposed. And he was able to get everyone united. So this is it's promising. So we'll see what happens. But he's been giving his opening remarks here, and he seems I've never met him before, so I don't have any kind of I can't give any insight into how I think he's going to run as speaker, but we will talk to some people who definitely do. So we're going to follow all of this. Like I said, the president spoke a little bit earlier, and nothing was gleaned out of that, and he didn't answer any of the stuff that I was hoping that he would answer. In the meantime, some culture. This is so stupid. In New Jersey, they canceled Halloween. By the way, I know some people that tell me, oh, you're a Christian, you shouldn't celebrate Halloween. Well, I don't celebrate Halloween. I don't celebrate occult practices. I kind of like the reverse door-to-door evangelism, to be honest. I mean, you have people that come to you asking you for something. Why can't you use that as a moment to, you know? I mean, I literally had people show me concealed carry cards before. So, you know, to get their kids the big candy bar. I've literally done that. I'm not even going to lie. I'm like, you know, you could get this king size if your mom or dad. And then they look, I'm not kidding you. And you would not believe how well this works. Anyway, I actually had a parent come to me the next year and say, I did get it. And they got a king size. Kid got king size Snickers. Kid was over the moon. See, it's the little things in life. Anyway, there's a big difference there. This New Jersey school, the South Orange Maplewood School District in New Jersey. They're not doing any costumes, parties, or parades. You know, something that could unite everybody, all the kids, into doing stuff. Just have fun. They sent out a letter to parents saying that they're not going to have in-class Halloween anything because they have a commitment to equity and inclusion. I don't understand what that has to do with equity and inclusion. I don't get it. They said students at all grade levels are forbidden from wearing costumes in the school district. They sound so fun. That was like one of the fun things in childhood to do, wasn't it? Yeah. It was a superintendent, and they said they're trying to be more inclusive. I don't understand how she doesn't actually get in and explain into how she thinks that.
So by excluding everyone, she's being inclusive.
I mean, isn't Halloween the one time when, you know, we as humans, we kind of do things properly. You know, you're nice to everybody, no matter how weird they are. And you give them candy, right? And everybody gets along no matter the weirdness because it's how, you know what I'm saying? Like, why? That's so. Why is this? She doesn't actually, like most people, she says, you know, after careful consideration, this is the superintendent. She says, as well as recommendations from, you know, some parent committees, we want to make our schools inclusive. What does that have to do with inclusivity? What do kids mostly dress up as for Halloween? I mean, are there monsters that are going to be feel excluded? They don't actually get into this. They said it's about equity and inclusion, and they don't want anyone's feelings hurt. They said that they think that does it violate the dignity of families that students and families either culturally or religiously. That was one of the things. Does it create tensions with equity and access values? Is there like a Frankenstein family? Like I'm trying to figure. I dressed up one year literally as a haunted house. I was in a sandwich board. You know how that sucked? Because I couldn't sit down. I was so bad. I've dressed up as everything. At one time, I was so poor growing up. We were real poor. And I need to post this picture. My mom had... All we had was like this postal hat, a Schlitz beer shirt, and a flannel. And my mom dressed me up. She said it was a hobo. But looking back, it was a baby juggalo, if I'm being honest, right? And Steve just asked me what Schlitz is.
What?
Kane, would you Would you like to tell Schlitz our millennial what Schlitz is?
At that time, a famous brand of beer. Mm. The other brands that we've forgotten about from back in that day has also Stag. Been like Stag and Falstaff. Remember Falstaff?
No, but I
you
know
remember
of
Falstaff?
It. No, but I know of it.
Are you sure this isn't one of your like Missouri things that I don't know about and you say it's your generation?
Yeah, it is, though. It totally is.
It kind of
yeah,
is.
Yeah, kind of. Stag totally is. Stag was an Illinois beer, and it came in a gold can. It was the cheapest beer, but it was the fanciest looking, right? Had a literal stag's head and right. It was a gold can.
Until Pabst put out their blue ribbon.
Yeah, but that's not, I'm
then
sorry.
It was
that
blue
can't
ribbon.
Come, yeah, but gold
like,
can,
what?
Gold can, gold can. Okay, like it'd be empty and still fancy, right? Only empty beer can that also is fancy. Anyway, my whole point is Schlitz shirt and an old flannel, and then I had a crunched up beer can. And that was in my shirt pocket. So I was a hobo. I don't know of any actual living hobos, so I don't know how, like, hobo families, that kind of, there isn't that kind of oxymoronic, because hobos are loners, so right. There's not, like, a hobo family that would have its values offended. And what are the hobo values? Like, sitting on trains? Like, I don't... I'm trying to understand here.
Don't be hobophobic.
Yeah. But in reality, I look back and I was a baby juggalo. I'm like, Mom, that's juggalo makeup. I also was a vampire one year, and I had this dress that I think I got at TJ Maxx, that she got me at TJ Maxx, and it was basically a giant Cosby sweater, but it was a dress that went down to my calves. And my mom, even though it was the early 90s, my mom was an adherent to 80s hair. Like all the way up until it, I mean, she was probably responsible for most of the ozone depletion. And she made my hair look like hers. And I had this crazy hair. It was like 1991, 92. And here I was a kid in my Cosby sweater. And then she did, the makeup. It was like a juggalo vampire. I don't know what her obsession was with that type of, you know. Anyway, one year she dressed me up as a prostitute. Now, I say prostitute, but it was Madonna, right? Didn't even look like Madonna. She dressed me up as Madonna one year, but I wasn't wearing like the cone bra or anything. I was wearing, again, flannel. Flannel was always a part of most of her costume concepts, right? It was the flannel, and then she tied like a scarf around it and did my hair up all weird. That's when I had a mullet for some reason. I was a 9-year-old, 10-year-old, 10-year-old, it was probably 10-year-old. I had a mullet. Don't know how that happened. And she like jazzed it all up 80s style and heavy makeup. And I look back now, you wouldn't know that that's Madonna because you had no idea. I just look like a prostitute. Would that offend like the prostitute family at that school? Like, is there a family of sex workers at that school that it would have offended? Or what about the time I was in a sandwich board and I went as a haunted house? I went as an actual structure. Would that have offended a structural family that, you know, maybe they identify, maybe there's like an Always Sunny sort of thing where instead of the woman identifying as a cat, like there's a family that identifies as actual buildings? I don't know. Like, what do they talk about when they say it violates the dignity of students and families? I mean, I'm going to play this card so hard for the rest of my life. I literally had a family member who was hung off the Carolinas, last name Sutton, S-U-T-T-O-N, for piracy. Hung for piracy. He was a pirate, and he was convicted of piracy, and he was hung. Now, if I see people dressing as pirates or National Talk Like a Pirate Day, you don't see me going out there going, my culture isn't your costume and all that other stuff, right? So there's not like any pirate families that would be offended. I'm just saying. Steve asks, which Madonna video was I? That's the thing. Like, she was just, her idea of Madonna was a whole bunch of makeup. She put like all this, I'm going to find a picture. I'm going to find a picture and I'll send it to Juan. And if we don't show it today, we'll show it tomorrow. But that was the thing. So I'm just, this is like the one time, Halloween is the one time where you're encouraged to talk to strangers. This is actually, the more I talk about it, it's actually bad for kids for like a safety aspect. But your urge to talk to strangers, be nice to weirdos, and share candy. That's like the one time humans are told, aside from Christmas, to be nice to people, right? Like, be nice to people. And now, like, what? You're saying that it violates what? Is there someone who's... Is there a fairy family that's going to be upset? I'm trying to think of, like, give me a basic costume, Kane.
I went as a football player one day.
Is there... Okay, that's not going to...
That's pretty basic.
Wait, Steve, what have you gone as?
I've done sports. One time I did a serial killer, but instead of I wrapped boxes of like Honey Nut Cheerios, so I was like a cereal with a C.
Cereal.
You guys want to hear the stupidest costume ever?
Yes.
So when I was a sophomore in high school, because I was like, you know, very academic, I went as a feeling. I'm not kidding you.
How the hell did you do that?
I dressed in red and I went as anger. But I was pretty chill that day, so it was just made no point. This nose pointless.
Oh, my gosh.
I thought I was being real clever. I go back and just slap the tar out of myself. Was you it, stupid.
Was teenager. It this feeling?
Yeah, you know what? I mean, she has brown hair normally. So, I mean, but you wouldn't know. You'd have been like, that woman dressed her kid up as a prostitute. And I'm like, it's Madonna.
Same thing.
I don't know.
Just is that when Material Girl was...
Yeah, but she had blonde hair, she was trying to be Marilyn Monroe, so you would think that at least she'd have gotten me a blonde wig.
Right.
But her costumes always revolved around flannel shirts, juggalo makeup, and 80s hair.
Yeah, that I went was as it. A bum one year, too.
You went as a bum. Hobo.
Right, hobo.
Different from a regular bum. Potato. Do you know why? Because hobos, Kane, have trains, bums don't. Yeah.
Potato, tomato.
We're learning all about vagrants today on The Dana Show. All right, as we get moving, there's a difference.
Looking for the drive-through version of The Dana Show? Check out the best highlights from every show and Dana's Absurd Truth podcast, posted daily from The Dana Show.
But the fact is that I have met with Xi Jinping more than any other world leader has. I've been over 68 hours of private meetings, he and I, with simultaneous interpreters.
So I thought this was interesting because guess who met with Xi Jinping today? Gavin Newsom, Gruesome Newsom. He went to go meet with Xi Jinping today. Very interesting. And then you have Joe Biden going, and Juan's getting ready to show you pictures of Gruesome Newsom with a Winnie the Xi. And it's just interesting that Biden said that. Isn't it? Very interesting. Because it almost sounds like he was taking a little hit at Gruesome Newsom. Or am I reading too much into it?
I think it's a fair assessment.
Seems like it. Okay, today in Stupidity, Kane.
All right, I don't know if you remember, but earlier this summer, Biden announced his plans to build a railroad from the Pacific all the way across the Indian Ocean. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Well, he today said that he's proposing the same thing, but all the way through the Middle East. Listen to this.
The G20, we were able to act on a proposal I had to build a railroad from all the way from Riyadh, all the way through the Middle East, Saudi Arabia, Israel, up through Greece, and then across not the railroad, but pipeline across the Mediterranean up into Europe.
What?
This is what he was doing today. That's our president, everybody.
It's our President Daddy Showers, guys. Folks, I hope you have a great night. Find us over at Substack. Like us on YouTube, Facebook, like and subscribe. I'll be back behind the mic with you tomorrow, Friday Eve.